Oh no.
I promise you that's the intro moment.
I'll say exactly.
I don't give a fuck.
I'll give y'all this. I'll give y'all this because this I can say. I'm not gonna say man. I'm like, I now understand the athletes after what I saw last. What I saw.
You just now understand that?
Oh my god! No.
With some ass is the trifecta.
That's the whole thing with the black community. You can't say that.
I get it. I completely get it, man.
You need to like go back to that volleyball coach that you was talking to.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Man, she was too hood. I was not hood enough.
Yeah, see, I told
no,
you.
No, but that's Larell's fault because Larell, he kept pushing the issue, and not saying it wasn't a possibility. I kept telling Larell like she's discreet. Like at the end of the day, she was doing the volleyball thing. We did have a cool connection, crazy. But she was too discreet. Like I have to say "screet" with the C because that's what it was.
Hey, again, that means he meant.
Like she, crazy. Like no, I meant it, bro. Like she was like that, and I knew it. I was like, Larell, she wants you, but that was Larell doing what Trey used to do to me, passing me the woman that he didn't want, and I refused to let that happen in adult life. Like I let Trey get me. Hey. I refuse. So I did go right, to the game.
I'm gonna cut you off here because this is definitely the intro moment. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna throw it to Ramen now for the intro. Step in, relax, sit down for a bit. Otaku collective about to get you lit. Anime and manga and them top five lists. Best podcast, nothing comes close to this. Fire like a snap from Colonel Mustang. Three homies out here killing the game. Hit record and watch them all start to cook. Reviewing anime movies and comic books. Say otaku. Say otaku. Say otaku. It's the Otaku Collective Podcast. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another fine edition of your baby mama and waifu's favorite podcast. We are the Otaku Collective. My name is Josh, and as always, with me are the boys. Say hello.
Yurt.
Hello. I like when Seth usually says hello like that. I just want to say that out loud. Like the hello. Way you like hello.
Like at yeah. work. Yeah.
Or even in like that, you'll do it.
That started naturally. Back in college with our friend Cody, Josh.
Yeah. Josh knows.
Yep.
Yeah. I was playing Pokemon with him and Fletcher earlier today.
Oh, okay.
Hey man, yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
I got D&D. Josh? I got D&D at the beginning of the month with the boys. I got the podcast with y'all. I got OCW, Overdrive Championship Wrestling. Check out Subaru TV on YouTube. They're starting back at Stu. And I got Pokemon on Sundays with Fletcher and Cody. So,
hey, man, that Pokemon trading card game is taking over, bro. Pokemon's Pokemon. I already know. But, like, the trading card game in particular. Like,
yeah, it's because one, you collect cards anyway. And now it's easier than ever because it's in your pocket. And then it's teaching people how to play the Pokemon trading card game, which only like 10% of the fucking fan base knows how to do.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I used to play it, so I kind of, if it's still the same, I remember unless things have changed.
Let me tell you something, right?
It hadn't changed majorly in like 10 years, 15 years.
Okay.
It is, for me, it is like, I've been learning how to battle on it and stuff like that. That has been a new experience. Like I was expecting to like meet other people that sort of knew what they were doing, bro, in the beginner ranks and stuff like that. Like the first 15, 20 matches that I've played is it feels like I'm playing against bots. I'm keeping it real.
You kind of are.
I've met like two people that have known what they were like. Three people have known that what they were doing. And I lost two of those matches.
Yeah, all those people are already like in mid tier and up.
So
okay,
but
okay.
I've been running Charizard deck.
I mean, even every and then with my favorite thing I've noticed, and I'll say this out loud, is like I've seen people at work who normally don't interact because of the trading card game. So that's usually the cool part to me. It's like, oh, this
it's just a new Pokemon Go, right? Because Pokemon Go died out. So Pokemon TCG is just the new Pokemon Go. That's all it is. When Pokemon Champions comes out, it's going to replace Pokemon TCG. Same thing.
Okay. Okay.
And for those of you who are unaware, because this is an audio pod, Pokemon Champions is going to be basically a battle simulator for your Switch, and I guess Switch 2 now, as well as your mobile devices. So it's like Pokemon Stadium, but an app.
Okay. No. Now that actually sounds interesting. That actually sounds interesting.
Yeah, so I'm gonna cook y'all in that too, just like I cook y'all in everything. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, I went 6-1 in Yu-Gi-Oh in the last 24 hours.
Nice. I still need to get in there and play Yu-Gi-Oh against y'all. I've played like Repo with.
Hey, bro,
with
we have so much fun. It's 80% of the time it's just cooking Jarvis. Shout out my boy Jarvo. But it's he has good decks, but he does bonehead shit a lot. Nah, it's so much fucking fun. Yeah, my college roommate Nick, you've met Nick. Seth,
I have.
He played with us today too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's cool. That's
good time all around.
No, I'm happy for you. Happy for you. Well, what has everyone brought to the table this week? You don't want me to start because.
Crunchyroll Awards got something. So y'all go vote for the Crunchyroll Awards. Y'all got like 6 days left. This Man. Is Sunday, August like 7th or 6th. Yeah, nah. August. Holy shit! Sunday, April 6th.
Yep.
So yeah, by the time this come out, voting will be basically over. What else? Spring season is about to start up, but we'll get that to him. We'll get it.
We got that podcast. Coming up right now.
Switch 2 pre-order has been delayed because of the tariffs. So
really, thank you for that. Oh snap!
Yeah.
Oh.
The release date is still June 7th, as far as we know. But for right now, pre-order has been delayed. I wasn't gonna pre-order anyway. Probably not.
No, fair. But like you know, a bunch of people are, and like
yeah.
But it's finally. I'll say this.
I wanted to at least think about it. Now I can't even think about it. So.
I want to say this. We're starting to see, because like people have been like, oh, we won't see the effects of these tariffs for months. No, you're seeing them.
Bro, we saw it immediately. Have you seen the Dow recently?
Oh, my God.
Have you seen the stock market?
Oh, my God.
That shit is rough.
That shit is down.
They took the ticker off like Fox News for the first time in like 24 years. That's how I know that shit.
They were like, just take it down. Just take it down.
What they did to the Dow was add an N onto the end of it. That's what they did.
Yeah, now it's just down. Oh man, no, it's crazy. It's crazy work for real though. AEW Dynasty was tonight for all you wrestling fans, and WrestleMania, WWE WrestleMania is about 2 weeks away.
Oh my God, it really is. It is.
There are currently no black men booked on said card for night one or night two. We'll see if that changes in the next 2 weeks. Three black women though. Shout out Naomi and Jade Cargill. They have a singles match. And Bianca Belair currently booked to face Io Sky for the Women's World Championship.
So they never added in
Rhea? We don't know. Yeah, we don't know what they're probably going to do it Monday. Okay. But right now, it's still a singles match. Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
We got heel John Cena versus the American Nightmare, Son of a Plumber.
Yes.
Son of a Plumber. Cody Rhodes. We got Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens has been scrapped because Kevin Owens is dealing with a neck injury. He's going to be out indefinitely, but the current timetable looks to be 2 to 5 years, which is crazy.
Whoa.
Isn't Stu either?
Stu is in a massive Kevin Owens
fan. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins will be main eventing night one in a triple threat for feelings and pride, I guess.
Yeah, I'm about to say, what's it for?
Absolutely nothing. Royal Rumble winner Jey Uso will be taking on Gunther after he beat the bloody shit out of his twin brother Jimmy Uso last week. So that'll be interesting for the World Heavyweight Championship. Charlotte Flair, who also got cooked recently in a promo because Chicago crowds are tough, and her opponent Tiffany Stratton, the WWE Women's Champion, brought up her 3 divorces in real life. She was not happy about that. It's a lot going on. But again, no black men so far. So, you know, kind of is what it is.
Is what it is.
Yeah, that's wrestling.
I went bowling with a coworker.
Hey, how was that?
It was good. It was fun. Met his girlfriend. She was cool people, cool vibes, everything like that. He's pretty good. I'd probably say he's around Zat skill level.
Hey, no, 100.
He bowls anywhere from like 140s to 160s.
Turn up, man. So I love that. Like, now bowling for me is a real, I hate to say it like that, a real sport, because bowling used to just be go on a date and give your date, you know, the chance to look good or something like that. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I never had to be really good.
I'm going out here.
That's what it was, though. The first time I ever really bowled was with Seth. Every time before then was, you know, Teen Wolf bowling, like you said.
Bowling for me cannot be a first date. It's like a fifth or sixth date.
That's like, no, your wife is going bowling with you. Like, I could, if it's just y'all two especially, oh yeah, she's got to be someone you're like at least trying to make your girlfriend, because like you're gonna be either showing her how to actually bowl, or you're gonna be like, I'm gonna kick your ass. One or the other. There's no in between. Either you're gonna beat her or you're gonna show her how to get good.
See, that's whenever you do like the like double date sort of thing. And then you make like a wager with the other couple, or do whatever, and then I have permission to try hard.
No, that's real. That's real. I had a cool weekend. Got to put my mom on some ramen, and it wasn't what I thought it was gonna be. But Josh brought me back to reality and said, "Hey, man, don't take out ramen if you want the real ramen experience." So learn that, but it was still really good, and I ain't had ramen in a minute, so it's got me in like, probably that's why I'm even feeling hyped up like I've been, man. Just a good bowl of ramen to get your soul right. I feel it. Shout out to Naruto. Other than that, I mean, you know, we had Final Four yesterday. You know, that was actually really fun.
Auburn lost and Duke lost.
That was way funner than it was supposed to be. The last 2 minutes of both games was amazing. Like, to even, because, you know, there was no real Cinderella stories, this kind of thing. You had McNeese and stuff, but like, I feel like these last two games were like Cinderella games, because the teams who were winning 80 to 85% of the game lost. And that's what happens, man. You got to play the whole time. And
got played all
now
the way through.
Duke has one of the worst, what do they call it? Selling moments in NCAA history, they're saying.
Yeah. So, you say
that's how old
people be selling. So
yeah, like they had a 90.
Up, next time he gets sold, it's going to be in a Philadelphia 76ers jersey.
No, I was about to say, Cooper Flash, they said something about he's coming back, bro. They said Cooper's going to go back to Duke. And I was surprised, because I was like, dang, bro, like, this was like the year for you to go to the draft.
He may make more NIL.
Yeah, which is crazy. And I agree with you. No, I agree with you. I mean, that could be
a rookie contract? I don't know about that one.
Well, and a first overall pick rookie contract at that.
Nah, that's like 20, 30 grand. I mean, bro.
I'm aware.
But he, like you said, NIL is nasty now, so he could have made be making some.
Keep in mind, like Duke is obviously a private school.
Yep.
And they're not publicly funded, so they have even more money than the public schools. And on top of that, it's not like they use NIL for their football team. They only use NIL for one sport.
Yeah, that's so real. That's real.
And to potentially bring a championship, would it be worth 20 to 30 mil for the university to potentially bring a championship?
That's real. No. So. But yeah, it was some good games. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like it was like the last second. It's not like it was blowouts. How about that? Like, I saw, yeah. I didn't see. Hey, shout out to UConn, women's UConn, for winning national championship. I didn't watch the game. But to see that they beat South Carolina by more than 20 points,
they were cooking their ass.
That's woof.
Speaking of shouting out women's team, shout out Troy women's team for making the championship in the WNIT.
I'm so sad that they lost. Actually,
hey, so sad. Lady Trojans.
Really sad that they lost because it didn't, that one actually hurt. Seeing how close they was, that one actually hurt. I remember feeling it. And so, shout out to the Lady Trojans holding it down for the Trojans.
Is Shonda still coach?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I love Shonda, bro.
I love
Shonda. We get Shonda.
Interview. Shonda.
Shonda.
Shonda like panda.
Hey, say it.
Oh, she does say that. Yep. She does say that. Shout out Shonda. I keep saying it's the black in me. it's the S, bro.
Oh my god.
It's the S-H-A-N. Shout out Shonda Rigby.
Shout out Shonda Rigby.
Interviewed her more than a few times to know how that's pronounced.
Oh yeah. And all her interviews are so fun. Like she's one of
They're great.
That I get to see with an interview. Cause like even with this whole run. Like, I mean, one time she did an interview with her hair off, like, you know, just kind of like, because she's on the go and all that, but, like, that's how cool she is. It's just like, hey, let's get it. I she's not going to doll up for anybody, but she's a doll, and that's what's cool.
And she so absolutely cool. knows basketball.
Oh, 100%.
No, absolutely.
The 2-3 times I interviewed, oh, my God, words. Interviewed her were dope. Very intelligent woman. Knows her know-how, loves her team to death. Probably top five coach I've ever interviewed.
I'll say this. She's still probably my favorite coach that I've interviewed.
No, it's definitely.
Definitely favorite coach I've interviewed one-on-one. But.
I think I got to interview Neil one-on-one at a training camp one time. I was with SD, but still,
I like her more than Neil. But
hey, to each their own. Each their own. And I guess also this weekend, after talking with some friends pre-pod, aka Josh and Seth, you know, crushes. I'm too old, I guess, to have crushes.
Yes.
And if you're attracted to someone, you shoot your shot. And you move on before
that crush develops faster.
Oh boy, that's the thing with me. They develop like freaking
no, but I'm saying like
you ever had a pimple come on you overnight? You know, I get it. No, 100%. Yeah, no, I'm with you. But it's just like with me with crushes, it's like a pimple overnight thing. Like you see a little bump, you're like, oh, that's probably nothing. And then the next day it's a whole pimple. That's literally me with a crush.
Yeah.
But Josh, you know, and you and y'all, you somehow are like relationship gurus. Y'all remind me of Hitch. Like Hitch could not help himself, but boy, they were paying for his services, boy. They were paying for it. He was making good money. He was staying in a sky rise in New York, bro. Come on with it. Just helping people get together. He's making good money.
I also appreciate you saying that because I'm 27 now. And like I'm too old for crushes now too.
Nah, for real. That's a real thing.
I feel like people are like, what do you mean? Like I feel like crushes.
All right, break it down. Break it down, Josh.
Are for a more unobtainable relationship, right? Like, oh, I have a crush on this character.
Celebrity crush, stuff like that.
Or like, yeah, like I have a crush on like this, like let's say you're a fan of The Flash, right? You have a crush on Caitlin, but you don't have a crush on Danielle Panabaker, who is the actress who plays Caitlin, right? You have a specific crush on the character. Or maybe you're a fan of Danielle specifically, and you have a crush on Danielle. Or you have a crush on Zendaya. Like Scarlett Johansson. It's like, yeah, or Zendaya. Some you can't realistically achieve.
Nope.
Unless you just on some a movie protagonist bullshit, or like you get isekai'd, or it's a fanfic or whatever, right? Type shit like that. But like, oh, I have a crush on this girl at work. No, you're attracted to the girl at work. This is an obtainable goal. Like, shoot your shot, unless she's married or something. Like, then it's like a slippery slope or whatever. But like, I think like the middle school crush era thing is non-existent as an adult in layman's terms. Because you're able to at least attempt to pursue the option, which means you're attracted to them, right? I don't say crushes are completely dead, but I think that you should move crushes to more unobtainable goals because it's like, oh, yeah, I have a crush on. Yeah, because everybody has a crush on, like, Topanga growing up, or like Kelly Kapowski,
yeah,
or like Kimberly Hart, right?
Yep.
Like these are characters, like these actresses played in shows you like that grew up with you. Like these are shows that are core memories for you. But like the girl you had a crush on in middle school and like seventh grade science, yeah. But you see her at Walmart, you're like, oh, she still look good. You're attracted to her. You don't still have that crush because you don't know who she is as a person now. It's unrealistic. That's just me though.
No. That's real, bro. Because I feel like a crush is healthy. I will say that. I feel like crushes are healthy because, you know, it's that in between where you're like, let's say usually if you have a crush, you're single. Hopefully you're single. So you're like single. Like, you know, but you could be in that's a whole nother conversation, but we'll start on the, we're talking single tip. But you're on your single tip, you're doing your own thing, you're in your own world, you're moving forward, you're doing stuff with your life, you keep going. Then there's the crush. Cause you I do believe like how you said the attraction. Like if you're attracted to somebody, you shoot your shot, whatever. But sometimes what if you're just physically attracted? Or what if they just said the right thing in that moment and you're attracted? I feel like the crush part of it be like, all right, I'm crushing on them. They look the right way. I think attraction, what are you about to say, sir?
I was going to say, what's the harm in shooting your shot in that scenario anyways? Because if you feel like there might be a slight spark there, right?
But it might be a spark just for you. You know what I'm saying?
That's how crushes slash attraction work.
Yeah.
But see, that's why I think a crush is one-sided. That's what I'll say.
Attraction
is two-sided. I think both sides, an attraction, I think things coming together. It's an attraction.
No, but because a crush can also be one-sided. That's what an unrequited crush is, right?
That's why I call it a crush, because it's one-sided.
Yeah, but what if a girl has a crush on you? You have a crush on her back. Then it turns into attraction. A mutual attraction. Yeah. Yes. See, no.
Mutual attraction, not attraction.
Okay, hang on. Let's do it. Let's do it like this. Let's do it like this, right? Do you think Beyonce is attractive?
Yes.
Okay. If you had the opportunity to shoot your shot at Beyonce and she was single, would you shoot your shot at Beyonce?
No.
Why not?
Because and I'm not doubting myself because I don't want any person.
Right, but it's an unrealistic goal, right?
Yes, cool. I don't think I'd be.
You have a crush on Beyonce.
Yes.
You are attracted to Beyonce. Beyonce has no idea you exist, nor will she ever. That is unrequited attraction.
Hey, there's a chance. Don't ever say she'll never. There's still a chance. But even
said you wouldn't shoot your shot. What are you talking about?
But she could know I exist. That doesn't,
sorry, you're right. Your music producer career will take off in the next year. And in 5 years,
it could be anything. It don't have to be music. What if I get into philanthropy? You know what I'm saying? I could be start saving the world.
Yeah, philanthropy right now.
PHLI anthropy. Okay.
Anthropy. Spell that shit right now.
The inner John Witherspoon came into me, bro. I didn't even spell it right. And I'm so mad because I was trying to do the inner John Witherspoon. I was supposed to be like PHI. Lanthropy, and I said E. Oh my god, okay,
PHL.
PHL. Okay, see, yeah, I knew I said it wrong. I was like, bro,
oh shit, I cracked myself up, bro.
The inner John Witherspoon came out there. I just want to say that, but yeah, like I said,
you would say PHI lanthropy, and I would have been
I know it. That's what I was trying to do. I was so close, bro. I was so close, man. All I'm saying is, I'm gonna bring it back. I said this to y'all pre-pod. I said this to y'all pre-pod, and I'm gonna say it again. Ness Declassified, School Survival Guide, one of the best top 10 Nickelodeon shows of all time.
Whoa.
I said what I said. If we want to do a Nickelodeon show episode, I'm down.
Hang on. Are you including cartoons?
Ooh. I kind of would.
That's why I said, whoa.
I kind of would.
He said I kind of was.
I kind of was. Like, when I smoke on that, I was like,
crazy.
Because live action, I mean, we can go back.
Peep game at the top five off rip, right? In no particular order. Avatar, SpongeBob, fucking Danny Phantom, goddamn Jimmy Neutron. Like, and that's just like stuff we grew up with, right? You still got stuff like Chalk Zone.
Yeah, we ain't even gone back to the 90s. We just even on the game shows that they played. Some of them were good, but like
some of them are good though.
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Yep.
Drake and Josh is better than Nez the Classified.
Fair. No,
Carly is better than Nez the Classified.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool.
Victorious is low key better than Nez the Classified.
They're equal. Well, one was performance art, so you can't beat that. Like, that's.
But it's still a live action show.
It'd be but 10, but top 10.
Jimmy Neutron, like.
It'll be at 10. But there was an episode about crushes.
Unfabulous.
Oh my God.
Oh, my Ginger.
Josh is like, oh, I can't stand for this slander.
I just feel like top 10 was a strong statement. Legend of Korra, like, strong.
Okay, no, I wouldn't put Korra up there. I mean, a lot of people already hate Korra, but for me personally, like,
it's better than Ned's.
Oh, no.
Yeah, definitely better.
Avatar was better. The reason why I say Avatar and Ned's are better than Korra is I learned more life lessons from those two shows than I did Korra.
I don't feel like I learned any life lessons
from Korra.
Yeah,
I learned like one or two things. Life
lessons from the female protagonist?
No, it's not even her. It's the show. I'm speaking of the whole show. Like, I didn't feel like I learned, like, a lot of good action, a lot of good stuff, but like the learning aspect, like As Told by Ginger would probably be in my top 10 because you was learning stuff as well as getting entertained. It's something about that. But
I learned a lot from Korra.
Okay. All right. You probably took it in better than most people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I
usually do.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know.
I think Korra taught people how to deal with, like, being let down by family and also acknowledging the fact that you can fuck up. I think it taught people how to deal
with. You can fuck up. That was a good lesson, I think.
I think it taught people how to deal with trauma. How to deal like with like relationships not working out specifically, because obviously in Avatar they didn't really focus on relationships, and when they did, and those were usually straight.
Korra, yeah, they all were good. There were
four different relationships. Like, I think it taught how to like let go of expectations upon yourself based on your perception of your parents with like Tenzin and his relationship with Aang compared to Aang's relationship with Bumi and Kaya, because Aang was a terrible father. Niggas don't realize Avatar Aang grew up to be a bum. Bad dad.
He basically was a Goku. I look at him like Goku. Like, as a kid, was doing everything. You thought they were going to be such great fathers, and they just kind of like, no.
I feel like Korra also taught people that, like, your beginnings don't define who you are, even though, obviously, Zuko is probably the best case of that. But Mako and Bolin were street rats. They were. Nobody. They turned into pro benders, and then people who helped save the world, not once, not twice, but three times, with the Avatar. Asami was a spoiled rich kid. Her dad turned out to be a whole-ass bum, and now she's the lesbian girlfriend of the Avatar by the end of the show. Like, so clearly, up and up.
Yeah. That's fair. All right. I just wanted to say, because I know we're going to get into our topics.
Before, by the way.
Hella. Well, you were pretty tame. Like, you was very overall, but I will say, you know, on Nez Declassified, on the Crush episode, the last tip he gave of that day was probably don't want to have crushes because you're probably going to end up getting crushed. And that's a statement. So, like, if you do have a crush, don't linger on it. Either shoot your shot or move on from it. You know what I'm saying? If you're crushing on someone who's regular people, let's not say celebrity, because you can crush on regular people because you might think they're higher level than you or whatever. But if we're crushing on regular people, let's remember to not do that for too long. That's a lesson I kind of learned this weekend. Like, crush on someone, figure it out. Don't sit on it too long. If you sit on it too long, probably gonna drive you crazy. Probably gonna drive you crazy. So we're working on it. We're getting better. Life's moving on. Life's life. And that's my life lesson for the week.
Oh, my life is a teenage robot. Like, nah.
Oh, that shit was gas. That shit was gas. That shit was gas. Was it? Was it? Shit. Jake Long there too, or is that Cartoon Network?
Nope, that's Disney.
No, that's Disney.
Oh, that's Disney. Damn.
Yeah.
Yep, that's Disney.
Okay.
Rugrats. Hey Arnold. Nah, Fairly Odd Parents.
Fairly Odd Parents. Oh.
Yep. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles. Honestly, is it sad I don't claim that as like I know it's Nickelodeon, but like
nah, I'm talking about 2012 Turtles, the best Turtles.
Yeah, you have said that. I guess when I Zoe think of 101? Turtles, I don't. Zoe 101.
Yep.
That was that movie.
Hey Arnold, I don't know if that's been said yet.
Yeah, he said Hey Arnold.
Okay.
Do I love
game show Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Oh, that was my shit.
That was my shit. 1993 to 95, by the way.
Ren and Stimpy, because that was a Nickelodeon.
Rocket Power. Dora.
He said Dora. We're going to Nickelodeon.
Dora taught me Spanish before anybody did.
Yo, I forgot Rocket Power was Nickelodeon.
Yep.
Blues Clues.
No way.
The original Blues Clues.
No way Nez is top five. All right.
Barnyard, by the way, too. Barnyard.
No, it's not. I couldn't even argue. I could probably argue with all the regular Nick shows. But once you threw in Dora and Blue's Clues, that's the bottom two right there.
For these new kids, bro, have you seen Henry Danger? That shit tough.
It actually was good. I remember watching it when I would come home from college. And it was okay. I never got fully deep into it because, like, the acting with the superhero stuff was annoying to me. But you also got to remember, Marvel's put a superhero standard up, so like, it was hard for me to like fall into it. But it was a good show. They just did a movie like a year ago that came out, and so like, I mean, it's lasted this long. I respect it. So yeah, Dan Snyder did something right. Goddamn. With that being said.
Was he still in charge by then?
Yep, Henry Danger. Well, he took, they said it on Quiet on Set, he pretty much took a back role kind of thing to it. Like, he was writing, but he wasn't on the
film. I almost forgot. So, Kenan and Kel and all of that. Come on, bro. No way. No
you
way.
You know who loves orange soda? Oh, my God.
No way. The Amanda Show?
The Amanda Show. The Amanda Show honestly was better than all that and Kenan and Kel, if I'm being real with you. Well, it was better than both of them.
They were also there. Like, it was the same line.
Fair, dude. I guess. Yeah. No, you're right. I guess that's cheat coding. But, like, Amanda's show was basically all that, but just Amanda's all that, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
it was Amanda and the homies.
Yeah, Amanda and the homies. Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Okay. I'm in the nostalgia of just what the sitcoms did for me, so I'll admit it's definitely not probably top 10, but it's a great show. Okay, it's great. Shout out to Ned, Moe's, and Cookie. I love to collab, sponsor the podcast.
Good luck with that.
God,
I said good luck with that.
Hey. I was like, they canceled their podcast, I'm pretty sure.
No, they just came back. They're now independent. Podco no longer does podcasts. And yeah, they're independent. They just dropped the episode with Drake Bell they did. Really was a good episode. Yeah, they just independent. They basically on the same tip as us now. But one thing that's cool about it, Ned said something on there that really like is like reality. He's like, when he thinks of podcasts, there's like teams of people who do these things. Like, you got someone doing this and someone doing that and someone doing this. And now that he's doing the podcast, like how independent people do it, he kind of like sees the beauty in it. Like, he said he saw like we put this together and this came like this and this looked like this. So yeah, it's cool when people get to understand the beauty of doing these kind of things. You know what I'm saying? That's the real reality of it.
All right.
So yeah.
Should we get into the episode?
Yes, sir.
All right. Y'all know what last week's episode was. It was a winter wrap, which means by default, today's episode, spring preview. It's the spring 25 anime that we look forward to the most. 2025. It has been a really interesting year so far. I mean, we got Solo Leveling, season 2. We got Sakamoto Days. We got Honey Lemon Soda. All the good stuff. So, what do y'all think these people need to be on the lookout for that y'all will watch? Who wants to go first?
Seth, would you like to go first? Is there any like rom-com?
Yeah, how many you got, Seth? How many?
Yeah,
you got?
We didn't even talk about that. Yeah.
I'm definitely not gonna watch all these. I just want to talk about them at the very least, right? Like, I'm not guaranteed that I'm gonna watch 2B Heroettes, for example, right? But I feel like it deserves to be talked about, right?
I'm gonna watch 2B Heroettes.
Yeah, okay. I think I'm only watching it because if they're gonna replace One Piece time with this shit better be amazing.
Well, 2B Hero X, right? Some of the animators working on it worked on the second Spider-Verse movie, right? So they have that sort of backing behind this as well. It blends like that 3D CGI animation really, really well with 2D as well. It does have two prior seasons. But none of the seasons connect to one another. They just happen all in the same universe, if that makes sense. So you can watch this without having to watch the first two seasons. It's animation. Just go watch the trailer, right? Go watch the trailer, and if it interests you, watch it. The animation is phenomenal. It is like one of the best anime, like at least like 3D. 3D wise, it might be the best I've seen. That's especially like anime wise, it's tough.
No, that's big coming from you because you haven't really always said you liked a lot of 3D moments, honestly.
No, but they put like they have the backing behind it. So the makers of this is Bilibili and Aniplex. Aniplex is one of the producers.
Aniplex is one of those.
Yeah. Bilibili does the 3D and Aniplex does the 2D. And so they worked on it together and like blended it, if that makes sense. But
no, that makes sense.
There's just in the trailer, there's a fight scene where a guy's fighting a bunch of like wannabe gangsters or whatever, right? And he never takes his hand out of his pockets to fight except to snap, where he like it's like an alternate dimension. That he takes him and whoever he's fighting into. And then he snaps again to leaves it, and they stay there. That sort of thing.
Okay.
It is insane animation. Like, I watched this with you, right, Josh? Yeah? Yes. Last night? It was crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy animation. I think it will be good. I think it will be good, though. Because, like, the first two seasons that have nothing to do, again, with this one, have a fairly decent rating and stuff like that. Although that animation isn't as good as this one because it was done by different like studios or like solo studios at the time, not multiple studios working on it together like this. But the fact that they have like Bilibili, which is one of the largest like studios in the realistically the entire world, a lot of people just don't know about them because they're Chinese. And Aniplex, which is a major like anybody that watches anime knows about any exactly. Everybody's seen that intro somewhere somehow, right? I think of Mad Guy every single time I hear that. I think that's gonna be good. I know Josh, yeah, you're looking forward to it, right?
Anime for Yu-Gi-Oh too, aren't we?
Oh, we are.
Yeah, I might have to check that.
Should I continue on past 2B Hero now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Josh, you said that you would watch this with me since it's a Gundam.
I did.
Mobile Suit Gundam, GQUX. I say you like that because it has like six U's in there in a row.
That is correct.
basically, it follows this high school student. She like lives a peaceful life in this space colony or whatever. She meets a war refugee, and is immediately drawn into like illegal mobile suit dueling, sport known as clan battles, and under a different name, she throws herself into the battles like every day. Piloting the GQUX. Then, in one day, a different Gundam pops up and, like, pursues, like, or it is being pursued by both Space Force and police. And they appear before her, along with its pilot, a boy named Shuji. And now, like, it says now their world is about to enter a new era, but it is another Gundam, another mobile suit Gundam. I didn't watch the last one with y'all. I'm going to watch this one at the very least. And it follows another female protagonist. And so I'm excited for it.
All right. I didn't know there was another Gundam anime coming out. I don't see it here on Mal, but I'm excited to hear it.
You have to scroll down quite a bit. You have to scroll down quite a bit. It has.
I actually was looking for it the whole time y'all were talking.
20,000 members. 20,000 members.
14, 16, 18. 20,000.
Yeah, 20,000 members. 20K. So only it's only one with 20K.
Is the 27th anime on spring 2025?
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26.
It's like green. It's
wow.
Like green. Yeah.
This didn't even look like a Gundam picture. This looked more Gundam. like a racing kind of thing. I didn't even look at this. Oh yeah, we rolling with this. I'd jump in on this with y'all. I really would. This does look good.
Bet. I think it like other than like really big anime like Soul Leveling and shit like that, it's been a while since we had like an under the radar anime that all three of us shared.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, no. And then I'm glad you're like watching.
So this is probably the only low key one we all have going.
Yeah, I'm glad you're watching a Gundam too. That makes me like happy. Like we don't really talk like. We do talk about mechs on here. I feel like I'll spend the cap, but like it feels like it's been a minute since we had, like you said, a mutual mech.
I've never noticed
anime.
How terrible OG Yu-Gi-Oh's animation is. Jesus Christ. Watching Yugi versus Yami, like the final duel.
Oh man, yeah.
It's on the YouTube Yu-Gi-Oh channel. It's just doing a live stream, and bruh, these are still PNG drawings for like half of this.
For half of it, bro. But like, it now it's just, I appreciate it. I'll say it like that. And if that came out now, just imagine how much the monsters would have looked, how good they would have looked.
Oh, yeah. I've seen what fucking Go Rush and shit looks like.
Oh, they have, and they got a new one that's slowly getting ready to come out. I've saw something like they're working on it. It's in development right now, like a new Yugi getting set up.
Like, Go Rush isn't even done yet.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's why I said it, because you know I was watching that for a bit till I dropped it, but it's not even done yet. And surprisingly, they're already working on the next one. Another show coming out. It's actually a remake, Yaiba Samurai Legend, created by the creator of Detective Conan.
Y'all keep going real quick. I'm using the bathroom real quick.
Cool. He's got his remake coming, just like you know. And after seeing Rurouni Kenshin's remake, I was highly impressed. I've actually seen clips of this already online, and people have been like raving it, like in a good way, like, oh my God, this is so amazing. So I love to see an old school anime get remade and people actually like buy into it. Or if you've never seen Yaiba and this is your first time seeing it, you're like, why ain't I seen this before? Like, I it will be weird because usually when I watch remakes, I like seeing what the original was like. So I can be like, oh, this is better. Oh, this was this. So by watching Yaiba, this could be an excuse for me to go back and watch the original. Because I'm not going to say I'm never going to watch Detective Conan, but I'm going to have to, be laid up somewhere where I'm like, I have nothing to do for the next 3 months, but let's lay here. Episode 1, Detective Conan. Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
I've years. Conan has like 20 seasons,
bro. Oh, bro, I'm talking like if I'm live streaming, like it's nonstop. Like ain't nothing else I'm watching but Conan. But no, I'm excited for it. I saw the clips and a lot of people have been raving it in a good way. I feel like I should wait for Seth to come back. So there's two ecchi anime coming out this season.
Oh, well, you can wait. I'll go.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Because I feel like,
ladies and gentlemen, I'm super excited for Lazarus. It's from the same guys who made Samurai Champloo, Cowboy Bebop, Carol on Tuesday, Face Dandy. And basically, in the year 2052, the world is basically turned into a utopia because of this dude called Dr. Skinner. He created this drug, basically, that ended sickness, pain. Like, he got a Nobel Peace Prize. He's a neuroscientist. Like, there are no issues at all. This is a miracle cure. It's a cure-all drug. You know, cancer, AIDS, hepatitis, I would assume autism and stuff like that, too. No issues whatsoever, right? 3 years go by. World's moving on. Everybody doing their own thing. Skinner has completely disappeared. Nobody knows where he is. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. He disappears and comes back after 3 years. Now he's like, all right, look. The drug I made, it's like, you got a half-life. Basically, everybody who's taking this dies 3 years later. So, like, now, it's been 3 years since you started taking the drug, y'all gonna start croaking. So the government's like, well, shit, we gotta catch this man, get the antidote, put shit together, because too many important people, plus all the poor people, took it. So they put together this elite special ops team of badasses, and it goes from there. I've seen a couple of trailers for this. It looks dope as fuck. The group is called Lazarus because obviously connotation and stuff like that. Y'all can pick up from there. I'm ecstatic. I love Cowboy Bebop. I'm a big Carol on Tuesday guy. Space Dandy is amazing. I love Samurai Champloo. So the fact that this is all the same universe, which is, again, insane that all those shows are in the same cinematic universe. I can't wait. I don't know what to expect, but I just know it's going to be good. The first episode actually comes out today. As in April 6th. So by the time this episode is finished recording, I'm probably going to watch the first episode because it was on Adult Swim tonight. So it should be on the internet by now. But yeah, we're going to see.
Yeah, I think, no, I did see that. That actually, I was debating on if I was going to watch that tonight. But so when you.
Is it on a streaming platform?
Crunchyroll. I thought Crunchyroll.
I know where I can find it. I'll say that. I don't know if
it'll
but I know where I can find it.
But I think it's on Crunchyroll. I really do. I feel like I saw like something on the top banner thing. But yeah, what you said when you was mentioning all the people that used to be on it, or not used to be on it, the show, the creators, the shows that they did, like Carol Tuesday, Samurai Champloo. That now I get why.
No, you're wrong. It'd be on HBO Max because it's an Adult Swim thing, and probably Hulu.
Yeah, it's not our country. Yeah, it's not our country.
It's an Adult Swim exclusive because obviously Toonami, right? But not Toonami. So yeah, that just like Ninja Kamui. So it's gonna.
No, that's what I'm about to say. And Ninja Kamui was amazing. So that means this might be this might be some stuff. All right, say less, man. Now I'm really locked in. I've been excited with original anime from Toonami because we didn't get that. Just a man, if they had caught us, bro, there's so much that could have been big now that if they had started it then. Like now trying to put new stuff on there, I get it. It's cool. But I feel like they missed the cue time or the key time. Why I say cue? The key time. Like 2005 to 2011. Anything
so cable was still king, right? People were still paying for their HBO Max, their regular HBO subscription.
Yeah, man.
You weren't going to get streaming sites like that.
But I'm just saying, if they started doing,
still sending DVDs to your house, like,
no, that's real. But I was saying, like, if they was doing original shows for just Toonami, then like we got anime.
Oh yeah, true.
That would have been because, like, now those shows. I mean, not every one of them would have been good, but the one or two that would have been, they would be like, oh man, they would be in those conversations with like. Naruto and One Piece and stuff like that. I mean, at least up
to be fair, technically back then to us, those were original shows. We didn't know where they were in the anime.
Yeah.
Well, I did, but the average person didn't.
Right. I knew it was certain shows. Like Naruto, I could tell that wasn't Toonami. We got it. I remember just certain shows. But then like Totally Spies, I thought that was straight Toonami.
That was like an American, like, yeah, that was here made in America. I don't know if it was a Toonami. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, but like Toonami, I think it was like, if not Adults, I mean, not Adults, if not Cartoon Network, it was like a different animation company. Because, you know, it was on ABC Family too. And so that means they're probably their own. But like, there was just certain stuff you knew. But like, when it came to anime stuff, I kind of always could tell, like, oh, this is something.
Oh, well, it was a French cartoon. Yeah, okay.
That's what it was. I knew it wasn't.
France was in a bag for us growing up. Really?
Coleoko, yep.
We were just taking from everybody, dog.
France and Canada, yeah, because Total Drama, Martin Mystery, 16.
I know we're not a political pod, but there was no terrorists on shows back then. That's all I'm going to say.
Shut up.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my God. No, that's crazy work for real. But what else? All
right.
Lazarus and
what's okay, what you got?
Witch, I think.
Which one?
I was gonna talk about this one with you.
To the Bleach universe?
No.
Okay, cool.
Burn the Witch is not all witch anime are in the same universe.
So go ahead and say it. It's just like I say, not all black people are the same.
Basically, for Witch Watch, apparently it's gonna be a 26 episode season. So yes, sir. Excited for that. Our main character Nico has finished her 6 years of witch training. Is moving back to town by herself. As a new witch, she must use a familiar to accompany her. However, unlike the other witches, she wishes to pick a non-animal familiar. There's no better companion than Morihito Moi Otogi, her childhood friend who happens to be an ogre. So Morihito is super against the idea. He's like, I'm not trying to be your servant. What the thing this is? This ain't no movie. But he reluctantly accepts his fate after learning that a curse will revert him into a strange cow-tiger hybrid every time he disobeys the witch order. So due to his dad leaving for a business trip and his mom remaining behind in the witch's holy land, the two teens find themselves living together under the same roof. While Nico is excited because she has a crush on him, Morihito finds that her magical antics and overall clumsiness create more problems than solutions. So expect this to be super rom-com, adorable slash bullshit 98% of the time, but throwing magical girl nonsense.
It is comedy supernatural. Yep. I'm excited to see what happens too. I've heard good things about the manga from people that have read this and have like been looking forward to this anime and stuff like that. So I've heard good things about it being funny and stuff like that, and also like being cute as well. So I'm looking forward to it. And
you said you had porn.
Well, I couldn't talk about it without Sif, of course.
Are you talking about Please Put Them On? Takumi-san?
No, I got one before that. Okay. So he is going to get to that. So there is another ecchi show coming out this season called Maki-san's A Love Bot. And pretty much it's about this idol who ends up moving into the home with this introvert otaku. And he thinks, you know, he's hit the jackpot. Like, you know, an idol moved in with you, it's over with. Comes to find out she's a robot who is just made for sexual purposes. Mm. And being caught off guard by it, you know, he's at a loss. He just found out someone he loves is a robot. He had a crush on someone and she was a robot, okay? And now you're pretty much gonna, you know, now we're just gonna go through the shenanigans of that interaction. Like, you know, she's an idol, so she's got millions of fans and they probably don't understand. She's just like, pretty much like, what's the name of the girl with the blue hair? I'm so sorry, I can't even remember her name.
Which one?
Hatsune Miku, am I saying it right?
Hatsune Miku, yep.
Okay, hey, turn up, so you know something. All right, yeah, so basically like a Hatsune Miku, like that's what she is, but she's actually, the physical form of her at least is a robot. So, you know, but she's still going to be all like, you know, like I said, she's designed for sexual purposes, so she's going to be like ecchi and maybe wear tighter stuff and all that. And he's like, I like you, but you're a robot. And, you know, they're going to go through that shenanigans of that. And I'm interested to see how that turns out. The Android aspect of it got me excited because I saw how Krillin and Android 18 got down. So might as well see how these two interact. Now we can go to the show that, surprisingly, when this dropped, this destroyed my news feed. I could not get on Twitter at work. I could not look at Twitter at work. I don't even know why I'm still on Twitter. At this point, Twitter. Please
put
them on for me.
Takumi-san.
Takumi-san.
Zach is caught up on the manga on this.
Man, when this dropped, bro, this was everywhere. Like
everywhere.
This was the first show that I saw dropped from this season. And I don't know if people were just waiting on like some new anime to drop, but man, I've never seen such a big push for an ecchi anime like this. Like,
The last time that you saw a big push for it was probably World's End Harem.
Yeah, or something close to that. No, exactly. I agree with that. Like, that was probably the last time I seen, like, but even then, I watched it after the hype, but at least knew the hype was going on. It's been a minute since, like, I seen an ecchi anime, like, take over the news feed like that. And just have everybody in, like, a rut and everything. So, I'm pretty excited to see this. If you want to explain it better, I kind of really don't fully know. All I know is the clips I've seen. That's all I'm going to say. And I don't think it really encompasses really what the show's about. So, yeah. You said Zach seen it, so maybe you got more insight on it than I do.
I actually don't have more insight on it, but my understanding is that she doesn't like wearing her panties, and the other main character, the main guy, is basically assigned by her to like make sure, like to
make put sure them, she's wearing clothes
to put them on for her, basically.
Okay.
Is my understanding of it. Zach could explain it a lot better than I could.
Okay, I got it. I just read the synopsis. Okay, boom. So, homegirl is perfect at absolutely everything, right? Just way of life. She
probably most popular girl in school. Yeah.
Most popular girl, dating the school quarterback, blah, 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 right? Apparently, she has an ability called Eternal Virgin Road. And every time she strips off her lingerie, so panty, thong, whatever, she can reset time. Fail a test. Take the panties off. Reset time. Get in a car accident. Take the panties off. Reset time.
Yep. That's what it is.
Get caught cheating on her boyfriend. Take the panties off, which I guess would already be off. So she might be screwed in that situation. But who knows? Maybe she almost said
something. Maybe she left the socks on.
I ain't going to say what I was going to say. But
the knee highs stay
know,
on.
You know. Pull it to the side. If you know, you know. Anyway, so when she does this after failing a test, her weak loser classmate sees her, and he's like, well, ayo, what the fuck? And so as she pulls the panties off, gets a perfect score on the test, and Brett confronts her, and the plot goes from there. So I assume immediate hijinks pursue. And her goal right now is to be able to use said cheat ability as much as possible for as long as possible. So she made him her closet.
But so, like, he kind of, like, she's now, like, using her power. Like, she's starting to, I'm guessing, like, it's going to be a thing when she starts to fall for him and uses her power for his favor. Not, like, his favor, but to, like, get him even more involved, I guess.
Who knows? But all I know is from what I got from the synopsis is he carries all her extra panties around.
Yes. Yep.
He's literally her closet slash and dresser
time,
drawer slash back.
Time doesn't reset until he puts them back on.
Okay. See, something about the time aspect actually got me more interested, like in a non-etchy way. Like, I'm interested because, like, Josh, ever since you said time travel is like the hardest thing in anime to do, I've really been like,
I think it's the hardest thing in media to do.
In media, yeah, true.
It's kind of insane that Back to the Future is still like the golden standard for time travel, and it's been that long, and even then, it kind of does it shitty because you got to go 88 fucking miles in a DeLorean.
But yeah, no, the time aspect of it kind of makes it more. It's like, okay, with the super, I'll say this, the superpower aspect does make it at least a little more like, now I get the hype of the show. And I get why everyone was like, I was just thinking the world was horny for a day. But now, if there's some time travel power in it, it makes more sense now why people were all like, bro, it's out now. It's finally out. Like, I see.
And
I see
also, I don't know if you mentioned this as well, Josh. Apparently, the ability's name is Eternal Virgin Road.
Yeah, he
did mention that. Okay, but yeah, okay. Eternal Virgin Road. Crazy. That sounds like a fucked up JoJo stand.
EVR. Sound like a brand new vehicle, a brand new electric vehicle, EVR.
Sounds like a terrible 80s band.
Hey, I agree with that. Eternal Virgin Road. I ain't even mad. That one actually, I agree with. It sounds like a bad band.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are Eternal Virgin Road, and we are ready to rock your panties off. And then, bam, some fucking random power ballad starts. Nah. I'm just like, why the fuck are we here?
Why are we here? That's crazy.
Go Loser Ranger season 2 is coming out, Josh. Are you excited about
that? Yeah, I am excited. I'm excited for a lot of season 2s. This, Windbreaker, 300 Year Slime, all the good shit.
Hey, no, 100. Oh, so that slime, that's the second season?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. All right. Well, then I'm going to ask you this. Is it comparable to My Isekai Life? Because that's my favorites. Like, besides... Okay.
It, now which that... is crazy because I put you on that.
That's, yeah, that, no, that was really so good. That was really good.
Yeah, kind of, but not really. If I were to compare this to something, I'd probably compare it more to, like, I don't know if you read, like Plus 999 Stick, like Enhanced Stick or whatever, or something like that. There's one
yes,
slime monologue.
I've heard of that at the very least.
Okay, yeah. It's kind of more like that. But yeah, so the main character killed slimes for 300 years, and then she was like, "All right, cool, time to go do shit now." So all her stats are kind of just maxed out, and so she's OP from the jump. But no, I think you would like it though.
No, 100. No, I mean, it's that kind of like. It's like the from last season, the Guild reception. It's like they're already OP episode 1, and no one else knows it. So they you kind of everyone learns it over time, and they're like, okay, maybe we shouldn't fuck with her. So yeah, all right, no, I'll fuck with that. A show I recently decided I was gonna watch is Sword of the Demon Hunter. I always love to have a good sword show, especially like a old school sword show. So it's of course set in the Edo period, and pretty much a man runs into a demon, and he learns the demon speaks of the future and how where he's, you know, where in the forest he went to defeat the guardian of the shrine that they met at. And from one era to another, the series just follows this demon man who travels through time questioning the meaning of wielding a sword. So, he's a demon.
Oh, he goes to, like, modern day. Yeah, they said the Heisei era.
Yep, yep.
That just ended. That's, like, 89, like, what, 2020?
Yep. All right, that's actually funny you said that. I recently was looking at something when I was watching a season last season. And I saw that, but I just didn't really know the period of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, Japan is, like, super, like, traditional-esque. So, like... They, you know how like the U.S. has like the Roaring Twenties and like the Great Depression and like the 60s and stuff like that. So instead of doing like by decades, they still do eras, and so they've been keeping track up until now, and different eras are obviously represented by different things and like historical culture for them. So it's like written down. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what their new era is called, but I know Heisei is one that just ended.
Oh wow. Alright, well that's cool. So yeah, basically a demon man who's hunting demons and he's learning the meaning of the sword. So always good to have a good little sword anime. And speaking of good little sword animes, another sword anime coming out this season, which I've heard some good raving over, is From Old Country Bumpkin to Master
Soul. I'm watching this one.
I've heard some good stuff about this. I really have. He basically is a sword instructor at his dojo in a backwater village. In his years, he dreamed of being a master swordsman. And then out of the blue, he gets a visit from a famous former pupil. And the news he gets is he's been appointed as an instructor for the Knights of the New Order. His life is now turned upside down because he's going from a small little backwoods city to the big leagues. He's moving into the capital where everybody's rich and has money and does all these things. And they didn't live the rough, probably, upbringing like he did. I wouldn't even say rough upbringing, but, you know, being more appreciative of what's around you. And pretty much we're going to watch him. And as well as, not only is he going to be instructing, he's going to be, you know, perfecting his own sword skills while doing it. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see where this goes, man. Mm-hmm. I always love to see someone come from a small town and then go to the big city and turn up.
Mm-hmm. And he's also going to have to, like, deal with, like, the, can I live up to this new position? Mm-hmm. And it also says, and will he ever get a moment's peace away from his adoring students?
Yeah, I figured he was a favorable instructor already to be even offered the job.
Exactly. Like, just because you have one famous pupil recommend you doesn't mean you're gonna get anywhere near that job. Yeah,
like the rest. Or like,
but if you have like 20 famous pupils,
oh, it's over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I just seen good things about this one, but like over the last 6-7 months, like basically in the pre-launch kind of thing, I just seen people like saying, "Bro, I'm reading this," or "Bro, I love this," like, and different things like that. Also, this is one of the few. So I always tell y'all, like, a poster means a lot. If your poster is lit, you'll probably get me. And this redheaded chick on this poster got me. I was like, who is this? It's giving Urza, but funner. And
how old is this woman?
I don't know, but we'll find out.
She looks like mid-20s, early 30s. Because all of his students are adults.
Yeah, and what she's wearing does give, like, she at least knows she's like.
All of his former students, because he get recommended by former students. And they're all adults now.
Yes.
So I think everybody is an adult in this. But she has, like, washboard abs and a big chest and big, furly red hair and everything like that. So. Yeah,
so we'll... He was like, check.
And she looked about our age, so...
Oh, Seb, are you watching Rock as a Lady's Modesty?
No, I'm not, no.
Interesting, okay.
No, I'm not. I'll check it out if I see some stuff and it, like, intrigues me.
Oh, Seth, you gotta watch this one.
Rock is a Lady's Modesty?
No, yeah. I'm talking... Well, no, my bad. You was talking about that. I'll wait. I was saying this. I was going through and I clicked on one I hadn't licked it. It's called Can a Boy-Girl Friendship Survive?
Look. He is. Hey, look. That. You just gotta let me get to my rom-com eventually, right?
Hey, that might even get me, bro.
Can we all just... Collectively, we agree that like most of the season, like the big season two stuff, like Fire Force, Windbreaker, we're watching that just to, like, speed this process along a little bit.
Oh, right, for sure, cool. Facts.
We're super excited. It's been for forever. It's been like what, 7 years for Fire Force?
Five.
Yep.
Five years. Season three. We're excited. We in there. Y'all know what it is. Y'all seen Fire Force. If you haven't by now, then I don't know what you want. Windbreaker came out last year. I was really excited about it. It's better than Tokyo Majin.
Better than Tokyo.
Zach doesn't agree, but he'll be all right. So
I mean, who doesn't agree? Zach says it's not better than Tokyo.
Zach likes Tokyo Majin better.
Really?
Zach said that at the very least. He likes the first season better than the first season of
Tokyo
Windbreaker.
Revengers? Tokyo Majin is a different show. I have
Tokyo Revengers. Is it? Tokyo Revengers.
Yeah, there's a Tokyo Majin something.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tokyo Revengers. Because,
wow, no.
Because
he's the only person saying that.
Zach didn't like that whole, like, the fight scenes in the, like, in the stage. On the stage.
He didn't I don't know what to say to him then.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a kid. That's when Zach reminds me he's young. It's moments like that I forget he's like younger than all of us.
Zach was not a big fan of episode 7 through 12.
Oh yeah, Tokyo Majin is a ghost hunting show.
Yeah, so like him liking Tokyo Revengers fits because he's younger. Like a younger person would like Tokyo Revengers over Windbreaker.
I also like it best because he can't respond right now.
That's why we got a podcast. Come on.
Exactly.
But I think Tokyo Revengers speaks to like, because it's set in 2005. It's set in a time with like young, like how old was Zach in 2005? Now that I think about it, he probably was a kid. Like
fucking three?
He was a baby.
I think Zach was like 2 to 3. That range in 2005.
Okay, so yeah, so like
dead, right? Yeah, he was like fucking.
Yeah, so 2005, yeah. I could see why he like, because like I actually was the age of those kids in 2005. I was like, what? I was 10. I was 11. So basically 2 years, 3 years off. Because Tokyo Revengers set with like 13, 14 year olds, really 14. So I was only a couple years off, but I was hanging around them because my brother was that age. And like when I think of all the tough dudes around 2005, they kind of were acting like some of the Tokyo Revengers. Like they think they were the stuff and they really wasn't, kind of thing. But Tokyo, I think Windbreakers just does better on the essence of like showing off what a true delinquent gang is.
Main character is also nowhere near as annoying.
Yeah, that too. I'll give them that. But like these Tokyo, like in Windbreakers, that they're representing delinquent gangs better. Cause like they don't really go out to cause trouble. They just don't care if they cause trouble. I think that's the essence.
Yes. Yeah. That's
and
fair.
I think
fair.
Windbreaker right. does better at showing that. Like we're not actually here to really just blow up everything and do. If you mess with us, we'll probably tear your whole place up. That's just what it is. Or if you say something wrong, we'll do something. But like it's a reaction. It's never just a proaction. It's never proactive. It's a reaction every time.
Yeah.
And that's why I like Windbreaker.
The show I want to talk about the most, second most outside of Lazarus, is one that is very near and dear to my heart because I've been reading the monologue for a while. But I'm very concerned with the current studio quality animation.
Yep.
And that
T-Bait,
the beginning after the end by Studio ACAT, who does not have a single anime
above a 6.7,
rated higher than a 6.7.
Which side note, real quick, right before we get into it, right? It's just me. Every single time I hear 6.7 now, I think of like the song and the memes and stuff like that, and the basketball edits. That's just me. Every single time I hear it, I think of that.
Not real.
Anyways, 6.7. T-Bait.
Right. So T-Bait. Probably one of the most anticipated anime, not only of the year, but
since
the
last
couple of years
first came out.
Since Solo Leveling. But definitely out of the last like 5-6 years, that Solo Leveling, Kaiju, Sakamoto, Chainsaw. So this is a story about a king named Gray. Gray is like the greatest king in the history of all kings. Fame, wealth, power, all that good One Piece shit. But he's alone. He's by himself. He's sad and lonely. He has nobody to give his stuff to. So he kicks the bucket. And then he gets isekai'd. Yeah, it's one of those. No truck gun. Just good old fashioned kicking the bucket. He gets reincarnated. Wakes up as a baby named Arthur in a world full of magic. And he gets a loving family. You know,
he retains
mom,
all
dad,
of his memories.
Fans, friends. Has all his memories, and he grows up to be this Riz having aura farming badass, just doing cool shit. Also, his family gets attacked by bandits. You know how that's gonna go. But my issue is I don't know if Studio ACAT can capture the Riz and the aura that is one author. Like Solo Leveling did for Jin Woo, and I'm really concerned. I'm really concerned, Seth.
I am as well. We had this conversation last night. Studio ACAT, they have not had a single anime above a 6.7. Their probably biggest anime. And that I watched and I did enjoy, right? That I gave a 7 to, a 7, right? was the strongest magician in the Demon Lord's army was a human. I thought it was an okay anime. Came out last year. It has a 6.4 rating on MAL, right?
Should be higher. It should definitely be a 7.
Seven, but 6 is average. 7 is okay, right? Like above average, which is fine. I think it was an average anime. I gave it a 7, though. I thought it was above average, but you know.
Right. Now then you look at their compatriots in good old A1 Pictures, who have some of my favorite anime ever. I mean, you got Sword Art, you got Seven Deadly Sins before it got shitty, you got Blue Exorcist, you got Fairy Tail, you got Love is War, you got Darling and Franks, you got Black Butler, you got Moggy, you got 86, you got Gate. Why couldn't they get it?
For real?
I know they got Soul Level, and they could dip both.
They could have
like Asterisk War.
At the same damn time.
Personally, I would have loved to have seen Madhouse get this one, right? I would personally love seeing Madhouse get T-Bait. I thought their animation style would have been perfect for T-Bait. But they didn't.
You know who I really wanted to get it? I would have loved Wit if Wit got it.
Oh, true.
T-Bait by Wit would have been crazy.
Crazy. But T-Bait by A-Cat? And you said that you know, like that you heard the reason why A-Cat got this, right, Josh?
Yeah, because the director has done 6 other projects for A-Cat. So it was just by default, I would assume. Once they knew that was the guy, they were just like, well, he already has his company. And we're stuck. I don't know, man.
That's some ass. Because literally no other thing that they have, no other one that they have is like any sort of... I could go through and list all these, right? Josh, you may not have heard of some of these. And Zoe, I don't think you would have heard of any of these. I haven't heard of any of these.
Okay.
Like, have y'all heard of I've somehow gotten stronger when I've improved my farm-related skills?
Yeah, but I haven't seen it yet.
It came out in 2022. I did not watch this. Did not watch this at the time. Did not.
Okay.
Well, not.
It didn't do that good.
It has a 5.96 rating.
Yeah.
They have more anime with a rating below a 6 than they do above.
Most people who from what I remember, who watched Somehow Have Gotten Stronger, just recommended you watch Farming Life in Another World.
Yes, sir. Which is what I would recommend. I think more people should watch that. It's good shit. But I digress on that. Like, T-Bait is what it is at this point, right?
I already said with this one, because me and you talked about it, Seth, I think I'm going to just let the season finish and I'm going to binge watch this, because I do have a high expectation for Webtoon shows now. Not going to cap. But still, that makes me want to, like, check it out. It's a good thing and a bad thing. It's like, God, the expectation happened. I'm going to watch it. But I'd rather just binge watch this one and see it at all at once, so I can have at least a good opinion of it.
The same way that I would say to people that watch Solo Leveling is, don't let Solo Leveling affect your mindset and have really super high standards for animation quality for other manhwa and anime and shit like that, because it has a really high one. They do, yeah. Same way with T-Bait, don't let potential mid animation quality turn you off from manhwa anime, like manhwa again turn into anime, right? So the opposite of Solo Leveling. We are on both sides of the spectrum.
We're not up right now, by the way, because God of High School kind of got hold. Tower of God definitely got hold. Like, manhwa and anime, we are not up right now. Solo Leveling, like, carrying it by itself.
Solo Leveling by itself, for sure. We already talked about from Old Country Bumpkin to Master Swordsman. Is it time for my rom-com corner?
Yeah, go ahead, bud. The last thing we'll say, because honestly, this is, it's very rare we end with your rom-com, but it looks like that's where we're going today. Honestly, this season, compared to like what's coming up, I wouldn't call it weak, but you know, it's not hot sauce.
It's a lot more low-key. I'm probably going to watch a lot more stuff than I talked about today, just because like I only have like four I'm super committed to. And yeah, I'll probably give like the three episode try to like six more shows. And then I'll probably like only talk about two or three of those if I continue to watch. But yeah, it's just kind of how it is. Sometimes sometimes you have slow seasons.
No, exactly.
I wouldn't want four like super seasons back to back to back. I'd be exhausted.
No, exactly. And that's why I was gonna say, like, this feels like a season where like I don't feel so commit. Yeah, play catch up. And not feel so committed. Like, if I miss, like, I'm a guy that likes to be week to week, but if I miss like a couple of 3 weeks of a show, I'm gonna be like, oh, okay, no, that's good. Catch back up, you know, sit down for an hour and a half or something. The last one I wanted to bring up was My Hero Vigilante. Excited for this because I'm a big My Hero fan and I've been told about this manga. I wanted to start reading this manga so many times. I literally got the collection now. And I'm going to still read it. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that, like, I made it to the point where the anime came out, I'm like, pfft. I've been saying I was going to read this for, like, even when they got announced, I remember. Like, I remember when My Hero Vigilante got announced. I said, oh, I'll keep up with that. Never did. But I'm excited because this is, like, set in a time before My Hero Academia. And we're going to be following
I love Vigilantes. It was a nice read for me, for sure, when I was actually reading week to week. I gotta catch back up.
It's finished though, isn't it? Correct, manga wise, it's finished, right?
I want to say yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember when they said it ended. Like that's why I said that. So, but I mean, I'm excited just to see what life was like when All Might was still the guy, when All For One was still the most evil guy out. Like they were that in My Hero. Don't get me wrong, but like. Before that, he became a teacher. You know what I'm saying? He became a teacher when he did My Hero. So, and All For One basically was messing with children or messing with high schoolers and, like, you know, mind, you know, manipulating. That's the better word to say. He was manipulating high schoolers to do his bidding because he didn't care. He used anybody, adults, kids, whatever. And now we get to kind of see what it was like before they kind of started tapping into the high school. And just seeing what the street life was like. Like, I think I like the street life aspect of this, the energy of the show. It's like, oh, yeah, we're not stuck in class. We can be 2 o'clock, got to put the mask on, go do your business. So it seems more adult. I feel like that's the word I want to say. This feels like a more adult show, but not like adult, like it's going to be crazy stuff, but just a little more older kind of show. Am I wrong to say that, Dry?
No, it's definitely for a little bit more mature audience because the shit that goes down. Yeah. But it's gonna be a dope experience for sure. I think people who don't like MHA because of Deku are probably gonna like because the world's still cool. Even if you don't like Deku, which is crazy because he's a kid and I've already gone on a rant why you should leave Deku alone. But if you don't like Deku because of his emotional issues. Then you're really
but that he gets like better Hero, on
like, the world that he does get better on. But if you like My Hero as a world, then you're definitely gonna like Vigilantes.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the last one I wanted to mention. Definitely excited for this. And last thing I will say is, we know we're getting the final season of My Hero this year, so this will give us My Hero content for at least another 5 years. Because this is gonna, I feel like it's gonna be at least 4 seasons of this. Because it's 15 volumes. So a good 4 seasons. If they're all 24, maybe 3. Huh?
Depends on how much they do in season 1.
Yeah, no, we definitely going to peep that. But I do see at least minimal 3 seasons of this show. So that at least gives another, like, that's why I said 5 years. It's not like you'll get a season every year, maybe. But if My Hero did that, My Hero did a season every year, surprisingly. I think only 1 year they skipped, as far as I can remember. But if this goes off the same plot like My Hero did, then we'll probably only get 4 years. And then I feel like once now it's like this at this point for the My Hero fans, once Vigilante ends, then truly the world of My Hero is over.
No, that's he already said he's going to sleep on manga.
And that's what I was also going to mention is like, because of that, that at least gives us like to hold us. And if things can happen, that might not come out right away. May not come out at all. No. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That might not come out at all, just being honest.
No, so, I feel like as long as nothing happens to Horikoshi, like he's fully intending to go into them as adults.
Okay. So, yeah, excited for the My Hero world. So, I will be playing My Hero Ultra Rumble more just because the show's out, and I know they're going to be giving us a lot of shit. So, I'm excited for that, too. So, yeah, right, so rom-com, 5 minutes. Your starting time starts in...
Oh, no, about 5 minutes.
You've done it before.
I've done it before, but this is going to be...
Let's try.
Well, one of them is going to be more conversative with you in particular.
I'm watching a rom-com this season?
Can a boy-girl friendship survive?
I just saw this right now. This was just right now. This was in the moment. I was like, hey, this is like something Seth would like.
I like being conversative with it.
No, but then I thought about my life, and I was like, wait a minute. I probably should watch this for my life. Yeah, I need to learn this.
Let's let Seth talk about it. All right. Well, on your mark, buddy.
All right. I don't have a time in front of me, so we'll see how this goes. All right, so... Josh, we talked about this actually one of these last night with my brother Solomon, where you outed me for having a type.
And
it's true. Garus are one of my types. In general, I don't really have a type. Love all women and everything like that. But whenever it comes to manga and anime and stuff like that, I read a lot of Garu stuff. I watch a lot of Garu shows and stuff like that. I like that whole... portrayal that what's the word that I'm trying to think of, Josh?
Aesthetic
theme, stuff like that, all that stuff, right? Basically though, this one revolves around a salaryman who is like works at a tiring job, but he goes to this baseball park to like it's like his like escape and stuff like that. And he goes to watch baseball games. At the baseball games, he meets Ruriko is her name. She is a Garu that is as cold as the beer that she serves, but secretly a sweetheart who keeps him coming back to the baseball park and everything like that. So obviously, like, he enjoys going to the baseball park, the baseball games, but he's going to the baseball park for other reasons too, to see her. And I said this cheesy line to you last night, Josh. I'm going to say it again. Ready for it, Zoe?
Yep.
As her first regular, Murata discovers the warmth behind her frosty demeanor, and their hilarious, heartwarming encounters light up the ballpark and maybe even their hearts. Okay. That is super cheesy line, but I love super cheesy shit, right?
It wasn't too bad.
I love it. Well,
I was expecting a little more cheese.
Josh was like, I'm a barf last night, is what he said. I think the character designs are really cool. The fact that it happens at a baseball park is a double win. Josh literally pointed this out last night and was like, Seth, like this is a romantic comedy that happens at a ballpark and features a Garu that serves beer. Like, why are you not watching this? And I was like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to watch this. So that's one of the three. The other one, can a boy-girl friendship survive? A boy and a girl pledged lifelong friendship together in a small town junior high school. The relationship between the two of them, who are destined to share a common dream, has passed 2 years without any particular development. Their relationship has stayed the same. Himari, a bubbly girl who has yet to find her first love, and Natsume, a plant-loving boy who enjoys flowers, still spend their days peacefully as best friends in the gardening club in their second year of high school. If you can't get married, I have to take responsibility, is what she always tells herself. I'm having trouble now because of Himari said that. Your brother began calling me my brother-in-law is what he's dealing with now. However, when Yu, the main guy, reunites with his first crush, the gears of their relationship suddenly go out of sync. So basically, he has a first crush. The main girl and main guy, they're childhood best friends, and their relationship doesn't really progress past that for like 2 years. And then suddenly, his childhood crush pops back up, and where we talked about crush and stuff like that earlier before the podcast and on the podcast, that throws things out of whack for them. So now she's thinking, like, do I have to take action? Like, do I want to lose him to another girl and stuff like that? And so, like, that's the premise of that show. I think it's going to be good. It's by JC Staff. JC Staff rarely fucks up romantic comedies, if I'm being honest. They do a really good job with it, with romantic comedies. And the last one is Kowloon Generic Romance. I am going to send y'all both something real quick from Twitter, right? I'm just going to send this to y'all real quick. This is the art style for the show. And this is actually like what the show looks like and everything like that. I think the show looks amazing art style wise. It has a very like 90s aesthetic to it. Almost. And everybody in the show is adults, so you're free to simp and everything like that. But basically, in a distant future, individuals who adore the way of life in the Kowloon Walled City, a slum city that serves as a refuge for those who long for the Hong Kong of the past. So this is like a futuristic type of thing, but they live in a area of Hong Kong that reminds them of the older version, basically like today's version.
This looks like a show that came on at like 2 a.m. like 1999.
Realtor Reiko, however, craves for the new and exciting places in the area. In contrast, her only coworker, Hajime, enjoys the nostalgia the city invokes and is put off by anything modern that seeps past its walls. But despite their differing viewpoints, views and constant bickering of the most mundane things, the two often find themselves enjoying each other's company. One day, a prank gone wrong leads Hajime to make an unexpected advance towards Reiko, after which he swiftly apologizes for. Baffled by his actions, Reiko starts investigating for possible explanations, only to discover a past that she has no memory of. It's sort of going to be like, not necessarily like, I don't want to say supernatural. Yeah, sci-fi would be better. Sci-fi would be better because it's like futuristic. It's dealing with her missing like past memories and stuff like that. But then it's also a romantic comedy because they're the two main couple, like the two main characters. They're interested in each other. They both work for the same company. I know that they kiss in the first episode. So we love fast progressing romance and anime. We hate for it to be dragged out for 3+ seasons. We hate that shit. Only on some cases it's good, aka Snafu. And Love is War. Other than that, give me faster progression. So I'm looking forward to this one. And those are my three.
Okay. Not too bad.
But the artwork, artwork looks really good.
No, definitely does. It's 100% giving 90s aesthetic. All right. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we can wrap this up. All right. Thank you, compared to
last week, I feel like we got to get the folks a break because, boy.
three hour 40 minute episode last week.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for listening to the Otaku Electric podcast. All your minutes and hours put into this, we appreciate for you making it to the end. As always, mental health, mental wealth. Love yourself, appreciate yourself, treat yourself. Mental health tip for the week is diversify your bonds, as I like to say to my boys, right? You used to dating one specific subgroup of people, and it ain't working out. And you like, oh, well, I'm going to give up on dating because this specific subgroup of people ain't working out. Expand your goddamn horizons. You know, branch out. If all you date is 6 foot two country white boys who work on oil rigs and shit, go find you a 5'8 Latin man who makes marimba music or something. I don't fucking know. I was going somewhere with it. Lost the plot for a minute. But yeah, just and if all you date is urban men and women, find you a little nerd. Find you a bookworm to go to the library on Saturday and spend like 4 hours there drinking Starbucks coffee and shit. Just do something different. Sometimes it's just you. Sometimes you out here trying to be a superstar, averaging 28-9-8, and that ain't you. That's not who you are. That's not your bag. You ain't got the handles for that. You don't have the jump shot. You don't have the authority to be that guy or gal. Maybe you a 15-5-5 kind of person. You know, your AR-15, Austin Reeves, even though he hooping right now, right? Maybe you a 15-5-5 kind of person. Or maybe you 8 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists person. Maybe you out here getting them triple singles like Draymond Green, and you a defensive standout. Figure out what you're doing is not working, acknowledge it, and then move on. Do something different. Then shit. I guess you're just gonna be by yourself. But don't tell people you didn't get the advice to try something different. You were just being stubborn. But yeah, you know, diversify your bonds, expand your horizons, try something new. But first of all, you can't love anybody until you love yourself. And you might think you love yourself, but look in deep inside. Make sure you know what's about you and what you got going on in this world before you start trying to branch out and be in other people's lives, especially if you're just going to fuck it up. But yeah, that's it. Mental health is mental well. Love yourself, appreciate yourself, treat yourself, diversify your bonds, be different, be better. If you're being abused emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, talk to somebody, because again, rather talk to you and hear you bitch for 3 hours and cry at your funeral in 2 weeks. All that good stuff. You can dial 988. That's the National Suicide Crisis Hotline. You talk to somebody who's a little bit more professional, but you also go to betterhelp.com, not sponsoring, get you some real mental help. Our DMs are open if you don't even want to do that. And you can get those DMs through Lorenzo. So, social media.
You already know what it is, man. We're coming to the social media time. You can follow us on TikTok at Otaku Collective PC. You can also follow us on Twitter at Otaku Collect Pod. You can follow us all individually. You can hit me up on IG. I've actually been getting a little crazy. You know, something that recently got me, and I feel old saying this, but I'm cool with it. I didn't realize because like when I think of TikTok, I think of that, you know, the whole scrolling fest and you just kind of get lost in videos. I've recently been getting lost in a lot of videos on IG. So shout out to content creators, because when I'm down, y'all bring me back up. So you can follow me on IG at _whataboutzoe. You can follow Seth on all platforms at C3Smooth. And you can follow Josh on all platforms at my_ownprofit. Seth, take us home.
Thank y'all for listening to another edition of the Otaku Collective Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with your friends, coworkers, childhood friends, or anything like that. Maybe you grew up watching anime together, and this is one way that y'all stay in contact is by talking about seasonal anime with each other. Please share this episode with them. We want more people to enjoy anime, and we want more people to enjoy our podcast as well. We know that we're a funny anime podcast, and we want more people to enjoy us as well. And the best way to support us is to share it. We're on all major streaming platforms. We're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Podcasts as well. And with that said, we will see y'all next episode. Peace out, you bunch of otakus.